This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS. Jack McKenna here, reminding you that your job well done may save a son. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Wednesday, May 2nd, 1945. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news, Rapid Ray is in with the sporting news, and we'll have a report on the fishing opener, which, of course, is always a fishy story. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Siegel Brothers, where they have on sale hats, including Stetsons, for just $10 each. Whoa! Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. German forces in Italy have surrendered. The war is over in Italy. Dönitz is making what may be the last German stand in Norway, and German radio reports that Hitler is dead. First, this statement from Washington. President Truman announced the unconditional surrender of German forces in Italy. Mr. Truman said, in quoting now, "Only folly and chaos can delay the general capitulation everywhere of the German armies. Let Japan, as well as Germany, understand the meaning of these events." Congratulatory messages were sent by the president to Allied commanders in Italy, General Mark Clark and British Field Marshal Sir Harold Alexander. We go now to Munich.
This is Munich. Stan Turner reporting. Hamburg Radio, amplifying last night's broadcast of Hitler's death, explained that Russian troops attacking Berlin's government quarter yesterday caused both sides heavy losses, during which the Führer was killed. The first inkling that dramatic news was coming came last night at 9:43 Hamburg time, when German citizens were advised to stand by their radios for an important announcement. Music from Wagner's Götterdämmerung, or Twilight of the Gods, gave a hint of the news to come. Beloved by Hitler, that opera tells of the death of the hero Siegfried. The radio played Wagnerian music for another 45 minutes. Then came four ruffles of a drum, followed by this announcement. It is reported from the Führer's headquarters that our Führer, Adolf Hitler, fighting to the last breath against Bolshevism, fell for Germany this afternoon in the Reich's Chancellery. On April 30th, the Führer appointed Grand Admiral Karl Dönitz his successor. He now speaks for the German people. The voice of the speaker, who said he was Admiral Dönitz, continued, "It is my first task to save Germany from destruction by the advancing Bolshevist enemy. For this aim alone, the military struggle continues. As far as these efforts are impeded by the English and Americans, we shall be forced to continue our defensive struggle against them as well." Unquote. When Dönitz eulogized Hitler as a hero against Bolshevism, who died a hero's death, a powerful ghost voice came over the radio and said, "This is a lie." And the radio played Deutschland über alles, the German national anthem, and the bloodthirsty Nazi anthem, Horst Wessel. 3 minutes of silence followed before Admiral Dönitz read, quoting now, "German soldiers, do your duty. The existence of the German people is at stake." In Munich, this is Stan Turner. Calling Britain, come in London.
This is London calling. Webb Miller here. Grand Admiral Karl Dönitz moved swiftly in his role today as successor to Adolf Hitler to shake up the Nazi military and diplomatic front in a last-ditch fight in Norway. One of his first acts is to dismiss Foreign Minister Joachim von Ribbentrop. Skepticism surrounding the circumstances reigns in British circles. A Foreign Office spokesman says they will demand proof of Hitler's death after Germany's surrender. Some members of parliament believe this is a ruse, while Moscow radio calls reports of Hitler's death a fascist trick. Nazi Norwegian Army commander General Franz Boehm broadcast an order of the day in Oslo calling on German forces in the north to fight on with fanaticism. Dönitz, as Hitler's appointed successor, pledged continuance of the war and demanded the same loyalty which Germans had sworn to Hitler. In London, this is Webb Miller calling Germany. Come in, Munich.
This is Munich, Germany. Max Jordan reporting. Victorious Red Army troops search the rubble of captured Berlin for the bodies of Adolf Hitler and his crippled henchman, Paul Joseph Goebbels. The success of their hunt hinges on whether the two leading Nazis are really dead, whether they committed suicide, were killed by Russian shells, or died naturally. The Soviets are also looking among the dead and the 70,000 prisoners for German Reich Marshal Hermann Göring, ousted Foreign Minister Joachim von Ribbentrop, a Nazi party chief Martin Bormann. A captured deputy to Goebbels said that Hitler and Goebbels killed themselves in the final hours of the Battle of Berlin. General Dwight D. Eisenhower and a British spokesman said all evidence points to Hitler dying of a brain hemorrhage. The German radio version is that Hitler fell as a hero while directing the defense of Berlin. Moscow believes Hitler fled underground with other key Nazis to plot an eventual return to power. Russian troops have centered their search on the Reich Chancellery and Tiergarten, beneath both of which it was rumored Hitler has an underground bunker. Resistance in Berlin ended today when Nazi General Wessling surrendered to Soviet Marshal Gregory Zhukov. Wessling turned over the remaining 70,000 survivors of the half-million-man Berlin garrison. This concludes more than 3 years and 10 months after German armies invaded Russia. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling Italy. Come in Rome.
This is Rome, Nolan Norgaard here. All German land, sea, and air forces in Italy and southern and western Austria were surrendered unconditionally to the Allies today. That totals about 1 million Nazi troops calling it quits. Hostility ended at noon, Greenwich Mean Time. The capitulation signed with all the Allies, including the Russians present, 20 months of bloody fighting in Italy. It also permits the Allies to advance unopposed to Hitler's retreat in Berchtesgaden in Austria. Mediterranean Supreme Allied Commander Harold Alexander announced a mass surrender. In his order of the day, he said, "You have won a victory which has ended in the utter rout of the German armed forces in the Mediterranean and freed the people of Italy." In Rome, this is Nolan Norgaard calling Louis Lochner with the U.S. 7th Army in Germany.
This is the York 7th Army in Germany. Louis Lochner here. Field Marshal Karl Rudolf Gerd von Rundstedt has been captured. He was found in a hospital in the town of Bad Tills, 45 miles south of Munich. Until last March, von Rundstedt commanded the whole of the Western Front. In fact, it was he who designed the terrific Battle of the Ardennes breakthrough in December. That attack menaced Antwerp and Liège and was the last serious attack by Nazi forces of the war. Von Rundstedt is perhaps the ablest of German commanders, fashioning the blitzkrieg strategy of tanks, infantry, and fighter planes blazing through enemy territory. It was the blitzkrieg that rolled Germany to her greatest victories in 1940 through the Low Countries into France. And it was his armies that fared best in the attack on Russia a year later. The 69-year-old von Rundstedt was seized today by the 36th Infantry Troops. His whereabouts have been a matter of conjecture since Hitler fired him in March and replaced him with Field Marshal Albert Kesselring. With the 7th Army, this is Louis Lochner giving the report.
Former Vichy France government chief Pierre Lavelle was turned away from an airport in Spain today. Lavelle was fleeing with other Vichy officials as he landed in Barcelona. Generalissimo Francisco Franco ordered Lavelle to leave. He was escorted away by Spanish fighter planes. Lavelle, second in command to Marshal Pétain in Vichy, has also been turned away by Switzerland and Liechtenstein. Free Norwegian circles are reporting that the Vidkun Quisling government has resigned. Quisling was installed after Norway surrendered to Germany in 1940. An emergency situation in Holland has led to a truce between Allied and German forces there. The Allies are shipping by air, land, and sea thousands of tons of food to 3.5 million starving Dutch civilians behind enemy lines. Under the truce, the Germans have granted permission for Allied ships to bring food into Rotterdam, withholding aircraft fire on planes dropping food by air and opening selected routes for trucks into Holland. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Do you think Hitler's dead?
Berlin took quite a beating, and after what happened to Mussolini, I don't think that Hitler would wait around for the Russians.
Not a good idea to make the Ruskies mad. Wear a hat styled for your face, guys. Choose from Siegel's complete selection. Mallory hats, there's a good one. Keep their shape, rain or shine. $7.50 a hat, not bad. Look at this, the very famous Stetson hat. Hoo-hoo! $10, oh boy. Also at $7.50, they have those two at $14.50. Stetson hats, what can you say about selling them? Nothing, they speak for themselves. Ever hear a hat talk? Champ hats, a wide variety of styles and colors. Oh, that's a good-looking one. That's a handsome one. $6.50. Lou would look good in that one. Your hat should do something for you. Hear that, Lou? Siegel Brothers, Tower Avenue, Superior, Wisconsin.
This note just in from the Associated Press. This afternoon, President Truman urged Congress to cut $7 billion from the current appropriations for the Maritime Commission ship construction. It isn't known how this will affect Superior Globe and Butler Shipyards, but there are no orders for new ships. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has today's casualties.
Good evening, Lou. The Office of War Information released the name of Tech Sergeant Daryl Fry as killed in Germany. He is the husband of May Fry of Hayward. Staff Sergeant John Lee of Superior died of wounds received April 14th in Jolo Island in the South Pacific. Mr. and Mrs. Robert E. Lee of Hammond Avenue have three other sons in the service and one honorably discharged son. The parents of an Ashland man have been told their son is missing in action in Germany. First Lieutenant Edmund Bogart has been missing since April 14th. The 25-year-old Bogart was born and raised in Ashland, attending DePadua High School. He's been in the service since 1938. Here's some good news for a Superior family. Mr. and Mrs. John Rahr of Station B received a telegram from the War Department today telling them that their son, Sergeant James Rahr, is no longer missing in action. An engineer gunner in a B-17, Sergeant Rahr has been returned to duty, but no other details are available. Finally, Tech Sergeant Donald Kulis of Superior has been awarded the Purple Heart. Sergeant Kulis was wounded in March in Germany and is now recovering in a hospital in England. He is the son of Mrs. Francis Kulis of Superior, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. Superior is short of this week's blood bank quota. Mrs. J.E. Walker is here. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, sir.
I'd prefer if you don't call me sir.
It makes him feel old when a young lady calls him sir. He's rather sensitive, you know.
I'm not sensitive.
Yes, sirs.
She called you sir, too. How do you like them apples?
I feel like I'm in the army.
Well, are you two about finished? I have important news here. The thing is, Mr. Martin, people aren't keeping their blood appointments. A discouraging number of people are canceling their blood times. I mean, membership in the Gallon Club is slowing down to a crawl.
Gallon Club? People are already pale enough around here this time of year as it is.
Gallon Club members get a silver pin.
I suppose if the blood bank doesn't get enough blood, you'll be in the red.
Ooh, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that joke.
Sorry, Jack wrote the book on old jokes. So why are people canceling?
It's the over-optimism about the end of the war. People should know there is a tremendous need for blood plasma for our fighting men in the Pacific. And I dare say more will be needed before we defeat Japan. We need more people to make new appointments pronto. The number to call is 4468. That's 4468.
Thank you, Mrs. J.E. Walker, co-chairman of the Blood Drive.
And don't cancel any more appointments, or she'll see red.
Good night, sir.
And that, Jack, with a few interruptions, is the news.
Glad to help, Lou. I should say, Sir Lou Martin, newsman extraordinaire. Let's check the forecast for this Wednesday evening, May the 2nd, 1945. Partly cloudy and mild tonight and tomorrow, with tomorrow's high in the low 50s. It's music time, folks. Here's a new one from the Glenn Miller Army Air Force Band, the Squadron Song, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Hail to the squadron. Hail to the
Glenn Miller Army Air Force Band and the Squadron Song on station KUWS.
So a young lady calls me sir.
Don't worry about it, Lou. I bet she frightens people into keeping their appointments.
That's the way to get results, if you ask me. That Mrs. Hawker, my kind of lady.
Let me introduce Douglas County Draft Board Chairman Joe Raffaele.
And engineer in charge Joe Gordonio. We're the two Joes.
Since when have you two become all chummy?
You two always argue.
That doesn't mean we can't go fishing together.
No reason I have to like his guts to go fishing a Brule River opener.
You don't have to like his guts?
I think that's the Colonel's way of saying that Joe's all right.
Well, it's time to pay a bill. Friends, May is economy days at Fort Hopkins Drugstore. That's right. Lots of savings at Fort Hopkins. They have a great deal on leg makeup. Get glamorous leg beauty with that nylon-looking finish with Marinello leg makeup. Just 29 cents a bottle. Lou swears by it. Get the dollar-size Dr. Lyons tooth powder for just 62 cents. And alcoholic aftershave lotion. I didn't know they drank that stuff. A 75 cents value for just 29 cents. That's a favorite of building engineer Axel Fennell. And for all those little scrapes from a tough day of fishing, Fort Hopkins has iodine and mercurochrome. A 14 cent bottle for just 7 cents. That's a favorite of the Colonel's. He likes pain.
Real men like pain.
Ha! You said owie, ooh, when I put it on your knee.
That's Fort Hopkins Drugstore in Superior, folks. Now let's listen to that new one from Carson Robinson and Hitler's Last Letter to Hirohito on the Martin and McKenna Show.
I just got your note, Hirohito. It reached me where I'm holing in. I don't have a Berlin post office. In fact, there just ain't no Berlin. My keen intuition assures me the great super race will survive. But please note this letter was written on April Fool's Day 45. So if I should suffer reverses, and frankly I look for the worst, I'll hike to my fort in the mountains if Himmler don't bump me off first. There once was a time when I figured that I might hide out in Japan, but recently I have concluded I'm much better off where I am. You're just like that guy Mussolini. You told me you really were tough, and then you start squawking your head off as soon as the going gets rough. Why don't you review your great Navy? 'Twill boost your morale, I am sure. Just borrow a suit from a diver, and you should have an interesting tour. I notice you mention the White House, and that darn near tore me in half. Too bad I can't find Hermann Goering, 'cause he really needs a good laugh. For many long years you've been itching to bring the Yanks down to their knees. You say you hear ancestors laughing, but I think you hear the Chinese. That white horse that you ride so proudly, you better teach him how to race. You'll make a swell lady Godiva, 'cause you're going to lose more than your face. P.S. I've cut off my mustache, so Stalin won't know who is who. I wish I could have my face lifted, but I fear they might lift my neck too.
New from Carson Robinson and Hitler's Last Letter to Hirohito on station KUWS. So, a big fishing opener yesterday, eh, Lou?
Although gas restrictions kept many anglers away from lakes and streams, some good creels were reported by fishermen who waded trout streams in Douglas, Ashland, Bayfield, and Iron Counties yesterday. How did you two do?
Well, the colonel calls me Harry now.
Harry?
Yep. For hard luck, Harry. If hard luck Harry didn't muck one thing up, he'd fudge something else up.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'd call you Johnny, as in Wise Miller. You spent more time in the water than you did fishing, all that stumbling around.
Oh, yeah?
I knew the colonel was unbalanced.
Ha! Got that right. He took a few unscheduled swims. Took me with him once or twice because of his peculiar lack of stability.
Well, at least I didn't cry when I got wet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
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 Sounds like they had a lovely time.
Well, yeah. Let's hear a fitting number from one of our favorite groups, and if they'll be quiet enough. The Mills Brothers and Tiny Bubbles on the Martin and McKenna Fishing Show.
Tiny bubbles in the wine make me happy, make me feel fine. Tiny bubbles make me warm all over with the feeling that I'm gonna love you till the end. So here's to the golden moon, and here's to the silver sea, and mostly here's a toast to you and me.
happy. Make me feel fine. Tiny bubbles make me warm all over. With the feeling that I'm gonna love you till the end of time. Tiny bubbles in the wine make me happy. Make me feel fine. Tiny bubbles make me warm all over. With the feeling that I'm gonna love you till the end of time.
The Mills Brothers and Tiny Bubbles on station KUWS. Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jake. Boy, I'll tell you, those two guys are something else.
Just what they are, I don't really know. Glad to see you, though, old buddy. Now, Rapid Ray Paulson with the sporting news.
Hey, fans of the sporting world, amid hoopla and fanfare, worthy of a Hollywood premiere, the St. Louis Browns raised their first American League pennant before some 30,000 fans. Senator A.B. Happy Chandler made his first visit to St. Louis as baseball's new commissioner. The new commission made a pledge to 4F baseball players that he would protect them from the ever-present draft. Chandler's already dropped President Truman a line to say, if we can't spare 400 to 500 4F men for Major League entertainment, then we are in trouble. The Detroit Tigers are off to a hot start, thanks to a great starting rotation of Dizzy Trout, Hal Newhouser, and Al Benton. They've been throttling the competition, allowing a measly 193 batting average. The Bronx Bombers are leading the American League in homers with 8, half of them by rookie Russ Derry. But Yank rivals across the Harlem River, the New York Giants, have 13 long balls to lead the senior circuit. On the other end of things, Frankie Frisch's Pirates of Pittsburgh are slow starters because their starting pitching is getting pummeled. Only 3 complete games in their first 11 starts, fans. Leonidas Ernest DeRocher, who makes it clear there is a definite connection between his middle name and the way he manages the Brooklyn Dodgers, has shuffled his roster like an ace gambler. Dodger owner and soothsayer Branch Rickey has collaborated to make Ebbets Field in Brooklyn baseball's counterpart of confusion to the Pentagon building in Washington. There is no status quo to this year's edition of the Flatbush Floogies, who in their diamond ball efforts at the Floy have sent 9 different lineups in 10 games. And finally, the bowling bums of Gerzik Market rolled over Vogue Bootery in the Alouise Major League. It seems that the Butcher Boys, led by Ace Matthews' 648 series, rolled over the first-place Bootery Boys last night. Hey, that was fun, wasn't it? This is Rapid Ray Paulson. Nobody does it like Jack. Reminding you that everyone loves a good sport, Jake.
A Floy to you, Ray. Thanks, buddy. How do you follow that act, folks? Here's Glenn Miller's Army Air Force Band. This is the wartime version of Pistol Pack and Mama on the Martin and McKenna Foy Foy Show.
Lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. Pistol Pack and Mama, lay that pistol down. Never flirt with a girl named Tess down old Texas way. Cause if you do, I'm telling you, here's what you have to say. Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down.
Flying in the Air Corps, flying to a fair. There's a flying fortress with a knocked out name.
Pistol packing mama, hear the airmen say. Pistol packing mama, lay those bombs away.
Why, just the other morning, the CO walked on in. Then the CO told us that we would bomb Berlin.
Pistol packing mama, spread your wings and fly. Lay those bombs away, babe, right in Hitler's lap.
Oh, then we boarded mama, and mama took us high. in the wild blue yonder, high into the sky.
Pistol packing mama, see that land below. Pistol packing mama, let your pistols go.
And spin that turret, mama, spit them bullets clean. Shake them old engines and shake that old machine.
Push aside that agate, lay it on the line. Pistol packing mama, babe, you're doing fine.
Well, now the job is done, babe, baby, take a bow. We'll be back tomorrow, but let's go home for now.
Lay those bombs away, babe, lay those bombs away. Pistol packing mama, lay those bombs away.
Miller's Army Air Force Band, folks, and Pistol Packin' Mama on station KUWS. Lou Martin has these bulletins.
From Washington, it's been confirmed that Germany's SS chief, Heinrich Himmler, has submitted a surrender offer to Allied forces. Acting Secretary of State Joseph Gru made that confirmation in the past hour. This flash from U.S. 7th Army in Germany. Captured Nazi General Karl von Rundstedt has declared that it's useless for Germany to keep fighting. With the Canadian First Army in Holland, a captured German officer asserted that Admiral Karl Dönitz has ordered German forces along the Western Front to cease fighting and withdraw to the Eastern Front to oppose the Russians. And from London, Luxembourg Radio is reporting that German capitulation in Holland is imminent. Reports from the Canadian front indicate armistice talks are underway. And those are the latest news flashes, Jack.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, you two. It's very unbecoming to be going on like that.
Ah, heck, Lou. We're just talking about fishing the brule.
Boy, what a story. See Skinny here?
I thought I was hard luck Harry. Now, Skinny's a different insult.
Oh, right. Thanks.
Don't mention it.
Anywho, hard luck Harry here hooked a mammoth rainbow.
It was 8 pounds if it was an ounce.
Yeah, real beaut. So this rainbow gives a jerk, you
which
know.
Which is another insult for another time.
And wham! Yanks the rod right out of his hand and starts for the big pool downstream.
By this time, he's got me all wrapped up in line and fishnet and creel, and I got worms coming out of my ear.
Then he gets tangled up in the alder bush along the riverbank.
And it's loose. Yeah. In I went. Ice cold water.
I never had so much fun fishing in all my days. Huh? We're even to go again.
Oh, yeah, let's get a day.
Hey, you make fun of the poor guy, laugh at his hard luck, and you expect him to go fishing with you again?
Well, next weekend works for me. Long John's ought to be dried out by then, and the water might be a little warmer.
Oh, I doubt
looking
it.
For my pole in that pool.
Expect
To expect the unexpected, I expect, Lou.
What on earth are you talking about, McCorkle? I'm being a sport here.
Yes, you know. Well, the colonel got the worst of it.
Worse than getting dunked and losing your fish and pole?
What?
Never mind. Oh, yeah, he's got a gadget he calls a fish finder.
Well, it didn't work. Well, at least it didn't find any fish.
It did find the colonel, though. He kept electrocuting me with that thing.
What do you mean, he kept electrocuting you?
Well, the first time we tried it, he got shocked. Kind of like electric eel. Then we tried it again, same thing. We figured the third time would be the charm, but, well, that time it burned his eyebrows off.
I knew there was something missing from the colonel's face.
Three times?
Well, you gotta give it a fair shot.
Yeah.
That's it, friends, that's it. Stay tuned for Raymond Swing with the news, then the Lone Ranger, and Time to Smile. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and Joe's fish finder isn't found. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
How did you burn off your eyebrows?
Well, I wanted to get a closer look at that thing, and, you know, things happen, I guess.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, John Munsell. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.